There are some passages of Scripture which I suspect many of us would prefer to disregard. They make us uncomfortable. They seem intolerant. Today's gospel is one of them. Jesus' condemnation of divorce appears to be so uncompromising as to preclude even the possibility of further discussion. Nevertheless, I think the gospel becomes more palatable if we understand something of its background. Some Pharisees approach Jesus to ask whether divorce is lawful, but they already knew the answer. For the previous 1,000 years, divorce was recognized as legitimate by the law of Moses. What the Pharisees really were asking was, how far can we take divorce? How much can we get away with before we offend God? You see, from the earliest days, the Jewish people had a provision for divorce. From the time of their wandering in the desert, a man simply had to issue a decree dismissing his wife. At that earliest stage, of course, it could only be done for a serious reason. Adultery, for instance. Later, however, the option for divorce had degenerated so much that it seemed a man could dismiss his wife on the flimsiest of pretexts. That's where the Pharisees' question comes in. They wanted to know how far Jesus was willing to tolerate divorce. In his response, Jesus acknowledged what was already the religious law of the land. That is, Jesus acknowledged the legitimacy of divorce. That fact often gets overlooked because we focus so intently on Jesus' harsh closing words, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery." All the more reason, therefore, that we remember that, however begrudgingly, Jesus did recognize divorce as legitimate. But he viewed it as one more manifestation of our human selfishness, our hardness of heart, as the gospel calls it. Jesus admitted that Moses allowed for the possibility of divorce because sometimes it's the only way to make the best of a bad situation. No matter how tragic divorce is, it may be preferable to the abuse which one spouse sometimes inflicts on another. It may be preferable to the damage suffered by children who grow up in a home where the atmosphere is toxic. Nevertheless, although he recognized the legitimacy of divorce, Jesus reminded the Pharisees of another scripture text, the one from the book of Genesis that recounts the creation of Eve. We heard it this morning in our first reading. In that reading, God says, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." That word partner is crucial here. An older translation used to say, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmate for him," as if God were simply supplying Adam with someone to wash his dirty socks. But what God gave Adam was far more than a laundress. That word partner, etzer in Hebrew, is used 21 times in the Old Testament. 16 of those times it refers to God as our partner. For example, in Psalm 121, there King David is besieged by his enemies, under attack from every side. In desperation, David cries out, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where will my help come from?" Then suddenly he remembers, he is filled with peace and exclaims, "My etzer is the Lord, I shall not be afraid. My partner is God who made heaven and earth." So an etzer is a partner, someone who stands beside me through thick and thin, someone whose mere presence gives me the courage to face the day. God is a partner, not a helpmate. In the other five instances, the word refers to human beings, but in the sense of some kind of cooperation between two people, which enables them to produce something greater than either of them could produce on their own. So in creating Eve as Adam's partner, God gave us an example of what marriage is supposed to be like. In marriage, God brings together two people as full and equal partners who, in the course of sharing their life together, are able to produce something greater than either of them could produce on their own. That's the ideal, at least. That's what we call a sacramental marriage. And although you might not think of it in those terms, many of you have that kind of marriage. Marriage is where you regard each other as full and equal partners. Marriage is where you are not afraid to share your whole life with the other. Unfortunately, there are others whose marriages are not like that. Others who may have been married in the church, but whose marriages somehow fall short of that ideal. As a church, we have not yet reached the stage of recognizing the legitimacy of divorce as Jesus did. Fortunately, however, in recent years, we have become a little more compassionate about marriages that fail. Through the process of annulment, the church looks for some shortcoming in marriage which has hindered the couple from becoming full and equal partners, partners with each other and partners with God. Annulments are not a perfect solution. Some who seek them find the process burdensome and intrusive. Others, however, discover that an annulment can bring healing and closure. Through the Gospels, Jesus invites all of us, not just married people, all of us, to a standard of living that is higher than merely getting along. For instance, he challenges us to serve other people. That does not come naturally. He urges us to forgive those who have hurt us. That doesn't come easily. He even expects us to love our enemies. That seems impossible. By the gospel standards, we all fall short. None of us has fully achieved the standard of behavior that's meant for those who live in the kingdom of God. At least, not yet. But God tells us not to be discouraged, not to judge ourselves too harshly. With God as our Eitzer, with God as our partner, eventually we will be able to live the kind of life that Jesus lived. I think of annulments in the same way. Somehow a marriage has not quite achieved the standard of living that's intended for two full and equal partners in the reign of God. However, instead of punishing such people, it's more compassionate, I think, and more Christ-like simply to acknowledge that failure and then to let them move on in their life. The church already recognizes that fact, at least partially, by allowing annulments. But I long for the day when the church will wholeheartedly welcome these divorced sisters and brothers as full and equal partners in our Catholic community. Of course, you and I need not wait for the church to catch up with us. We must make it clear today and every day that we need their gifts and their ministry if we ever hope to love and serve God and neighbor as Jesus intended.